I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Zaylee Pollan. She's KSFR News Director. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Very nice to be here with you once again.
And we're here to talk about an event that's happening this coming Monday, the 20th of April. Peter Gresta, who is an Al Jazeera English journalist, he's former BBC and CNN and Reuters journalist. He was imprisoned for 400 days by Egypt. He was in Egypt, convicted on terrorism charges, along with a couple of other Al Jazeera journalists from Egypt. He was released recently, deported to his native Australia, and probably many of our listeners heard about this story. He's actually coming to Santa Fe. He's not giving any interviews, which is why you and I are talking. You and he sort of go way back in the world of print journalism.
Peter Gresta is a colleague and a very good friend. We met covering the Timothy McVeigh execution, of all things, in 2001. We have crossed paths many times since then. And when he went into prison, it was a very terrifying experience, I think, for so many of us who know him and love him. And many of us in that community have lost other journalists, so the fear was fairly immense. And when he got out of prison, we got back in contact. I think for him it was a time of really thinking about what was important, or so he described to me after his release, and so reconnected. And he is coming to America really to go, I think, to the Washington Correspondents' Dinner, and he wanted to visit New Mexico. He had been through once before. He did a motorcycle trip and stayed with me years ago. So it's a wonderful opportunity. He is an immense journalist. He's also immensely generous. So when I said, would you consider in your short visit doing a fundraiser for KSFR, he said, absolutely, of course I would, which really is just an expression of how giving he is and how important this is for him. I think that this experience in prison was very alarming for him on many different fronts, and he's really trying to use his capital since his release to talk about the dangers happening to journalists across the world. And as he describes it, he wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary in Egypt. He wasn't crossing any lines, doing anything undercover. In fact, he was covering for a colleague over Christmas break and had really just landed, was getting his sea legs in Egypt. And again, as he describes it, says when the knock came on the door and people started going through his equipment and questioning him, he just thought it was something fairly bureaucratic and a nuisance. He had no idea what was in store for him.
So he was convicted on terrorism charges for doing what exactly?
He had interviewed the Muslim Brotherhood. And so I think what happened is this colluding. He was accused of colluding with terrorists, with the Muslim Brotherhood. And
colluding means interviewing?
Colluding means interviewing in this case, which is really terrifying for a journalist out there trying to actually get both sides of a story. But apparently in many countries, this is not something that's taken lightly in any way. And, you know, oddly enough, this discussion, or I shouldn't say oddly enough, I mean, this discussion came up a lot in Iraq, that if they found out that there were journalists that had interviewed with somebody perhaps talking about planting a bomb, would those journalists, without telling the U.S. Army, would they be sent to jail if they had information about this? So there was a lot of exchange, and it's a valid question. So what is the information? When does it get to be too sensitive? And yet, if you're a journalist, you want to hear what both sides are fighting for. What is at issue here? So at this point, Egypt obviously was in a huge amount of chaos, and there are a lot of journalists that are in prison there. And
including Peter Gresta's two colleagues from Al Jazeera English, who were, when he was let out, they were then, I think, let out on bail, but they're still in Egypt awaiting retrial, is it?
Awaiting retrial. That retrial was actually postponed to April 22nd, so they're not allowed to leave the country. Grest was put on a plane immediately and sent to Cyprus and then to Australia. Even he said there was really no reason given even for that. It was completely shocking. So now he feels immense guilt, but also immense determination to talk about how unjust this is and how international journalists need to be respected for the work they do, and how a democratic open process needs to occur in these cases.
Journalists are in a dangerous profession, and it seems like sometimes they're more dangerous than others for journalists. Is that true?
Well, I think recently there's really been a crackdown on journalists. So you have the Committee to Protect Journalists. In 2014, 61 journalists were killed. In 2013, there were 70 journalists killed. The Committee to Protect Journalists identified 221 journalists in jail in 2014, and that was an increase of 10 from 2013. They said it was, quote, the highest number of journalists in jail since the Committee to Protect Journalists began taking an annual census of imprisoned journalists in 1990. So, they certainly say that it highlights the resurgence of authoritarian governments in countries like Egypt, but also China, Ethiopia, Burma. China is the worst jailer of journalists in 2014. So I think that we witness really with growing and emerging countries this idea of, but we can only talk about the good parts. And all of these kind of breaks and fissures in the fabric cannot be discussed. But if you can't discuss it, then how do you grow and how do you expand and how do you look at a real country in development?
How are we doing in journalist safety here in the United States?
Well, I kind of laugh that there's a lot of finger pointing at some of these other countries, because here in America, I mean, they say even under Obama, there has been a true rise in one targeting journalists and targeting leakers, government leakers. I mean, this idea that journalists get information from their various sources because of the internet, because of the way that we exchange information now. Not only are the leakers now being targeted in the government and identified, but also the journalists who then take that information. So I think it's becoming incredibly dangerous. I mean, we have cases like Edward Snowden, who's talking about the NSA plan of filtering all of this, of basically data mining of all of this kind of information. There was a recent article in Vanity Fair about James Risen. Now, we should know him here in New Mexico because he wrote fairly extensively about Wen-Ho Lee back in the day. And he is a defendant in a case against a former CIA agent, Jeffrey Sterling, who faced 10 counts of it. He wrote a book called State of War. Now, there was so much discussion about whether or not State of War should be published, about where the information came from, about whether this was legal. He was asked to go and testify. He really stood up against that and did not necessarily testify. But at this point, you don't even have to issue subpoenas at this point. You can just execute search warrants for reporters' computers. I mean, if somebody wanted to come and look at all of your information, Mary Charlotte, who did you talk to and what did they say? You don't necessarily have to go into court and talk about it. They can just take your computer and they can go through it. And
they don't need a warrant?
They don't. Well, hopefully they will have to get warrants, but they're getting warrants for your computer. And then they ask all of it. So you have all of this information in one place, and that a lot of this had roots in the Bush administration, but it's actually accelerating under Obama. And while he said that a lot of this targeting of leakers and of journalists can impact the way it's covered, he's tried to stand up against it, but it hasn't really abated. President Obama even said this is a dangerous precedent. We need to be careful of this. He stepped back a little bit on some of the searches that were being done. In 2013, it was the Justice Department under Obama. They told the Associated Press they seized records for about 20 phone lines associated with the staff. They took records of emails between Fox News and the State Department contractor. So this was fairly huge. I mean, this was a really big seizure. And then President Obama said, oh, wait, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. But I don't really see the other side going down yet. So I'm not in those circles, but I think it is a chill, and I think journalists are now really trying to take a step back and say, wait a minute, you know, journalism needs to be practiced around the world, not just in Egypt, not just in Burma or Syria. It needs to be practiced right here in America.
We're talking to KSFR News Director Zaylee Pollan. I think it's also really telling in this country that so much of the focus, whether it be James Risen or whether it be Edward Snowden, is not on what they're saying, but whether he should have the right, you know, the person, the journalist should have the right to say it, or the leaker should have the right to say it. The question is, how is our country conducting its affairs? How is it conducting
Absolutely.
War? How is it spending the money that we are giving on April 15th to fund this sprawling, crazy country known as the United States? What's it doing with that money? We deserve to know. That's what journalism is about. And that's what this tradition of leaking information, especially information that goes against the moral or legal fabric of our country.
Well, that certainly is the discussion that Edward Snowden has that says, well, wait a minute, this is incredibly important. The American citizens need to know that this is happening. It is not right. So let's balance this. And people say, well, okay, he's just a leaker. This was for the common good. And the argument against it is it really the common good if it's endangering this idea of national security? All of this is, of course, post 9/11. So this discussion, you can veil it under national security and terrorism as governments, as certainly the U.S. government has been doing. I think if you listen to Gresta, that the Australian government is doing as well.
It's also really important, I think, that citizens really talk and think about these issues in an informed way where the substantive issues are what is being talked about, which we don't always have, even in our lovely free press and quote-unquote liberal media.
Well, we don't have, but the other side of that is even sometimes when we do have, when somebody like Edward Snowden tries to give this information across, people don't seem to care. I mean, there was kind of an hysterical, farcical look by John Oliver in his show Last Week Tonight, where he actually flew to Russia and interviewed Edward Snowden. But before that, he asked people on the street who he was. The majority of people, one, had no idea who he was, or they confused him with Assange, WikiLeaks. And they didn't really care about the information shared. And then he brought up this information that, you know, part of the information that NSA agents routinely look at and share and laugh and is pictures of private parts and other naked pics that people send over the internet. And when people heard that, they were outraged. They were outraged. They said, oh my God, something has to stop here. And you think, this is the level of education. This is the engaged citizenry that we're dealing with. If you have this level of concern about what's happening in the country, can you actually do it? And that's when journalists have to really assess and say, is this worth the effort? I, of course, as a journalist would say, yes, it absolutely is. But it does make you feel a little bit wary when you look at some of the possible penalties of this. Peter spent more than 400 days in a jail. Many of those days were in solitary confinement. Now, he came out of this with this incredible strength and will and vision, one of human strength that he speaks about, and I certainly expect him to speak about on Monday, which is inspiring and fairly beautiful, and a lot of what saved him actually was Vipassana meditation.
Oh,
and I'm going to ask him to speak about that, because our conversations on the topic have been really, really amazing. But he also came out with a conviction of saying how wrong this is and how we need to be able to educate people, and part of that is it. Interviewing people of both sides, obviously, which is not always easy. Or in the case of Syria, Iran, Iraq, interview all five sides, interview all six sides. I mean, this is not a, you know, he said, she said. These are very, very complex issues, and it's incredibly difficult for people to understand any of them, not the least of which is the fact that all of this information is out in the open and we're being targeted for speaking honestly about it.
I think that whether it's direct and intentional or not, I think part of journalism is peacemaking in the sense that when you interview people on many sides of the issue and give voice to people who are fighting for reasons that may seem really opaque to us, it fosters understanding, and that understanding can lead to actually making decisions that don't involve shooting each other and stuff like that.
Well, you know, that certainly is where I come from. It's where I've spent my entire life of journalism as a Rotary Peace Fellow in Cambodia, in Northern England, at a peace university in Thailand, looking at things there and really telling stories of people in Iraq, which is where I first appeared on this show. And my inspiration and my impetus was really to tell human stories so that you cannot as easily separate yourself from the situation, that you have to identify with the human element there. And I think that you are exactly right, that is what makes the peace. And there were moments that I really identified that switch for me, where it was not about covering an event. It was covering the human sides of it and really trying to show what are we actually fighting about here? I think that especially with all of the conflict in the world, people go into this dazed. You don't want to hear anything about it. You don't want to hear who's killing whom. I mean, you look at Africa now, it's like, oh God, that entire continent is just in war. No, it's not. No, right. It absolutely is not. There is so much good happening. There's so much. And in Africa, they're horrified at the way that the different countries are being covered, and that some that, even the ones that are in war, there were journalists that I met in Northern England through my grad program that were saying, we would rather have absolutely no coverage of any country or any conflict in Africa than the kind of coverage that you all are doing in America.
That's major.
That was major. And I said, but wait a minute, don't people need to know about it? They said, no, because that is the only image that you have of Africa as a single entity. This entire continent you put into one big unit that is in conflict. All people want to do here is kill each other. And I couldn't really argue with that.
Yeah. And there's so much racism behind that.
So much racism. Well, we're seeing that certainly on these shores as well. And
well, that's what I mean. I mean, the American racism that we've had here for, 300-400 years?
Exactly.
Actually, I don't know if it was constructed as racism in the beginning. It was just slavery then. But it's interesting, too, because I think really good journalism can give readers or viewers or listeners kind of new eyes to see things that they might have had preconceptions about.
Well, in the articles that I haven't seen, when we're talking about journalism, we're talking about Obama, whatever you think about him, there is this new level, this new lack of civility. And I shouldn't say new, but it's been taken to a new level, whereas people used to be fairly polite to each other. This complete disrespect of the President of the United States, and there have been very few people who've called it out and said this is because he is a black man. It has brought up the ugly underbelly of America, the ugly racist underbelly of America to the surface in a way that I don't think we've seen in many decades.
Yeah, although it's kind of always been there.
It's absolutely always been there. But that's what I mean, that now it's out in the open. People are less embarrassed to say the words, to, again, insult the President of the United States in ways. I remember my grandmother being horrified that Bill Clinton did that with that girl in the White House. Doesn't he respect that? And I think, where is the respect now for the actual president who's just doing his job? You mean you don't have to agree with him? You can have completely different politics. I certainly don't agree with the way he's dealing with journalists here. And yet, he is the president elected by this citizenry.
For a change.
For a change, exactly, exactly. How do we then cover that and have that conversation with that in context, while at the same time being able to critically examine the issues at hand?
We're talking to KSFR News Director Zaylee Pollan. So, once again, Peter Gresta, who is the Al Jazeera journalist who was imprisoned in the nation of Egypt for 400 days, got out not too long ago. His other two colleagues are still there waiting to be retried on these, what by all accounts seem to be bogus terrorism charges. And he will be in Santa Fe on Monday. Now, is he doing a world tour?
He is not. He is coming to Santa Fe for some relaxation. But as I said, we've already tapped him to discuss these issues here. He will be going to Washington, D.C. As I said, he's really using this platform. He's gaining access to a number of different officials that maybe he only dreamed of accessing as a journalist. And really trying.
Because now he's a freed prisoner.
Because now he is a freed prisoner who has the audience that he may not have had before. And to his credit, he is using it to really blast this conversation out to all of the officials who need to hear it, who have the power to actually do something about it. So I certainly hope he will discuss this. What he might also discuss is really some of the criticism of his own network, Al Jazeera, and whether or not they may have intentionally endangered him by putting him in this position and did not perhaps mount the defense that they could have.
Very, very interesting. Well, all of this is happening on Monday, April 20th at 7 o'clock at the Unitarian Church here in Santa Fe on Barcelona Road. It's a benefit for KSFR. Zaylee Pollan is news director of this fine station. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. I would really recommend to anyone who can to come out and see this. This is a very rare and very special opportunity that we have to have Peter with us discussing these issues here in Santa Fe.